If you have your Bible this morning, would you open to 1 Timothy chapter number 4? 1 Timothy chapter number 4 this morning. This is once again a very monumental time in the life of our church as we've called a new elder to the church, Brother Brent Matting. We're so thankful for him and for his gifts. And I don't know how many ordination services that you have been to, but it is somewhat customary at an ordination service for there to be a charge that is given to the new elder and also a charge to the church. Yeah. Most of the time, those are full sermons done by two different people. Ordinations, by the way, are usually a kind of a long event. Ours won't be quite that long, but in one shot today, I'm going to give the charge to Brother Brent and the charge to the church. And so I hope that you'll hear God's word today. Let me read our text this morning in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And this is the text that will go towards Brother Brent as part of his charge this morning. I'm going to put his name before it. Brent, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. One more time. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. I got to thinking about what I would say today in the charge to Brother Brent. And I got to thinking about my own life and ministry now as I've been in the ministry now for coming on 9 or 10 years, I guess. And I began to think about the things that in that amount of time that the Lord had taught me. And some time back, I jotted these things down, and I'm calling my charge to Brent today, a decalogue for pastoral ministry. In other words, I have 10 things that I want to say to Brent, and this will be good for you as a church to hear today. I think these are the major responsibilities, the major things that any minister of the Word of God should give thought to as he seeks to fulfill Paul's charge to Timothy here in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, that once again says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. So 10 things this morning that I hope will be a tremendous help as you seek to live out this command from 1 Timothy. Number one, Brent, you must understand how the role of being a pastor should be prioritized in your life. Amen. You have to understand how the role of being a pastor should be prioritized in your life. And the question or the thought that comes behind this statement is this. As a pastor, as one called, I have been called into the ministry to be in pastoral ministry, and God wants it to fit into my life. But how does it fit into my life? That's a good question to consider, isn't it? And here's the things that you need to remember so as to fulfill this properly. Number one, you are a Christian before you are a minister. You're a Christian before you're a minister. Secondly, you're a husband before you're a minister. And thirdly, you're a father before you're a minister. Make sure that you don't allow the work of the ministry to overtake the first responsibilities that God has given you. Number one, to cultivate your own walk with the Lord, to understand that you're a Christian before you're a minister. And that's the way it works, isn't it? That God saves us and He gifts us, and in time our gifts come to fruition and we begin to understand what we've been called to do. And for Brent, his particular gift is that of pastoral ministry, of being a preacher of the Word of God. But you have to remember how that fits. And first, you're a Christian before you're a minister. Furthermore, God has graced you by giving you a family. You have a wife and children. And God doesn't require for you to sacrifice your family for the sake of the ministry. As a matter of fact, you're a pastor first and foremost to your wife and to your children. Before any of these people have claim upon your time and your life, you first are to give to your family, to take care of your wife and to your children, and to make sure that you're bringing them along in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So you're a Christian before a minister, you're a husband before you're a minister, and you're a father before you are a minister. So understand how the role of being a pastor should be prioritized in your life. The second thing I would say to you this morning is you must walk with God. Amen. You must walk with God. And I would say to you today, you need this and so do your people. You need this and so do your people. You need to learn to cultivate fellowship with God in a practical manner. God, when He saves someone, He makes them positionally right before God. But then there is the activity of working out what you have been made in position, working that out in practice. And so it's your responsibility to walk with God, to fellowship with God, to be fully consecrated to God, to have a heart of devotion to Almighty God, so that when you are walking with the Lord and then you come into the environment of ministering the Word of God to people, people can see that there is a sweet aroma about your life because you have been with God.
Amen.
So you must learn to walk with God. The third thing I would say to you is that you must learn how to live on Christ.
Amen.
You have to learn to live on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible teaches not only does God save us from the penalty of our sin, which is hell, but one of the wonderful things about the gospel is that the gospel puts us back in a right frame of mind. And the gospel draws our attention and our affections now to the God that we once hated, the God that was once a judge before us, and that's the only way that we thought about Him. Now we think about Him as Father.
Amen.
Now there's this family relationship, there's this sweet relationship to God, and a new understanding of the beauty and the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God not only saves us from sin and all of its punishment and all of those things, but God has saved us for the purpose of coming to Him and coming to Christ, listen, for satisfaction for your soul.
Right.
You know, Scripture teaches us that there's nothing under the sun that's going to satisfy the human soul.
Right.
You're not going to find ultimate satisfaction and fulfillment in anything in this world. And by the way, any of you, any of us who try to do that, the Bible calls it idolatry.
Right. Amen.
And John tells us that, children, you are to keep yourself from idols. And how do you do that? The only way you keep yourself from idols is to be satisfied on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must learn to live on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not just true for Brent today. It's true for all of us who are Christians here today.
Amen.
To learn to find satisfaction for our soul. You're not going to find satisfaction in that new toy, in that new bass boat, in that new purse, in that new thing, or this thing, or that thing. You're only going to find true satisfaction for your soul in the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And so as you walk with God, you must also learn to live on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true satisfaction. And beware of idols that would steal you away from satisfaction in Christ. The fourth thing today I would say to you is that you must learn to be led by the Spirit. You must be led by the Spirit. You know, I believe today that so much of the problems in the modern church that's before us today is that you have men who are in gospel ministry who are seeking to do the work of the ministry in the power of the flesh and not by the aid and the power of the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
And the moment that we begin to rest upon our learning, or rest upon our giftedness, or rest upon whatever abilities that we have, is the moment that we begin to fall and to mess things up. You must understand that you are totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God to lead you. You must walk by the Spirit. And brethren, that's not just true for pastors. That's true for all of us here today. We are commanded to be ruled, to be controlled, to have this exerting influence upon our life that comes from the Spirit, where we rise every morning and we say, I submit myself to the Spirit. I want to be controlled. I want to be led. I want to be influenced by the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
We need this, all of us, just in our Christian life. But how much more so do men who preach the everlasting gospel of the Lord God, do we need the work of the Holy Spirit and the influence of the Holy Spirit upon our life?
Amen.
It would be an awful thing for a man to spend the entirety of his ministry operating in the power of the flesh, only to come to the end of that ministry and look back and see everything that he was done as being only worthy of being burnt up by the fire.
That's right.
You must do what you do in the power of the Holy Spirit. The fifth instruction that I would give to you in this pastoral charge today is that you must preach the Word.
Amen.
You must preach the Word of God. You know, today pastors find themselves busy doing so many things, many times to the neglect of the study and the preaching of the Word of God.
Right.
It's the preaching of the Word of God that is the main thing. It's interesting, isn't it, when you come into a room like this, and here you see this desk, it's on a lifted place, and everybody's eyes are coming forward, and hopefully it's not me that you're looking at this morning, but it's this book.
Amen.
It's resting on this desk this morning, that this is the authority. This is the way that the Lord rules His church.
Right.
It's through the preaching of the Word, and you're an instrument of this Word. You're an instrument. You're one who's called by God to feed the people of God the Word of God. We are given the command from Holy Scripture that we are to preach the Word of God. And if we don't preach the Word of God, there's no dawn or there's no light in us. If we don't preach the Word of God, we rob the people from the only source of true help that will help them in their life. It is the Word of God. I would encourage you to spend long hours in the Word of God.
Amen.
Study the Scripture. Master this book. Know the contents of the Word of God. Come prepared when you preach the Word. Understand that as a pastor, this is your primary task. And oh, how we must guard against all of the distractions that would seek to rob us from time in the study.
Amen.
We need to make sure, brothers, there's others in here, other elders who preach the Word of God. We need to be sure that we're spending time where we are in the seat, at the table,
right,
looking and staring into the pages of Scriptures. And prayerfully coming to the Word of God, saying, Lord, help me.
Yes.
Teach me Your Word. Show me the interpretation. Help me to feed the people of God.
Amen.
Look around, brother. See these people here in the pews today. They need you to preach God's Word to them.
Amen.
They don't need short stories. They don't need all of these other books. They don't need all of these other things. Although there's many good things out there to read and to study and to think about. But nothing that compares to this book.
Amen.
The people of God need the preaching of the Word. So preach the Word. Number six. The sixth charge that I would give you this morning is that you must love the people.
Amen.
You must love the people. This is a requirement for the man of God. We are to be men who serve the people. We are servants. Those who stand behind this desk, we are servants to the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
We're not up here preaching the Word of God so that we can have our own pride stroked and our own egos stroked. That's the work of a false teacher.
Right.
We're not here for personal gain or personal profit. We're here to be servants of the Word of God. We're here to build up the sheep.
Amen.
We're here to help them to conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be the men who are to supply that which is lacking in the flock of God.
Right.
As we see needs that they have, we're to minister to the people. We're to know the sheep. We're to love the people. We're to pray for the people. We're to agonize for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Our focus is to be on the people that God has entrusted to us. You know, I think it's a wonderful thing in our day and age that the way technology has worked. You know, we talk about it pretty often here, how our sermons go out on the internet. And it's an amazing thing to me that I look at the statistics of where our sermons are being broadcasted. We have more people listening to our sermons online than we do sitting in the pew. More people will hear what comes from this pulpit outside of this church than who's in this church. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
This last month, we had over 38 countries, people listening, tuning in to our sermons. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. Who knows what God's doing with His Word that's coming from this pulpit. But even with that being said, and no matter how glorious that might be, our responsibility as elders is to shepherd the flock here that God has given to us.
Amen.
We're not here to preach sermons to people that we will never see. If they hear them, fine. But our primary responsibility is to the people that God has placed in the pew before us.
That's right.
These are the people. These are the ones that we're supposed to know. These are the people that we're to tend to and to care for and to pray for and agonize over and build up and shepherd as under shepherds of the great shepherd.
Amen.
So love the people. The seventh thing I would say to you this morning, we say it all the time around here, be faithful and let God be fruitful.
Amen.
Be faithful and let God be fruitful. The Scripture teaches us that some plant and some water, but it's God who gives the growth. It's God who gives the increase. You know, what an unnecessary burden that so many men carry as pastors in the church, thinking that it depends upon them to fill the pews. That it depends upon them to make sure that there's fruit that's taking place in the church. Listen, that's God's business.
Amen.
It's our business as preachers and teachers of the Word of God to preach the Word and be faithful in that task, and to make sure that we don't pull away from that, but we're faithful to that and allow God just to build the church. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I will build the church and the gates of hell will not stand against it." Why would I want to compete with the Lord Jesus Christ?
That's right.
Let Him build the church.
Right.
Let Him bring. Let Him fill the seats. You understand today? You're here today. Every person that's here today, you're here by divine appointment.
Amen.
From God.
Right.
Isn't that something? That God sovereignly ordained providentially a divine appointment for you today to be here in this service.
Right.
And God can do that far better than we can, brother.
Yeah.
We are to be faithful to preach the Word of God and let God do the rest. Don't carry an unnecessary burden. Preach and rest.
Amen.
Is the message. Number 8. Oh, how important this one is. You must learn to run your own race. You must learn to run your own race. And what I would say as an addendum to that is you must beware of comparisons. God only made one Brent Madding in this world.
Amen.
And the church needs Brent Madding.
Right.
The church doesn't need, our church doesn't need a John MacArthur or a John Piper.
Amen.
Or a Charles Spurgeon. This church needs the men that God has given to this church.
Amen.
I'm not called to be John MacArthur or John Piper. You're not called to be John MacArthur or John Piper or any other famous preacher you want to mention.
That's right.
God gifts us and uses us the way that He wants. And it's so dangerous. Again, we talk about the good side of technology. The bad side of technology is that men can stand and compare themselves to other ministers. And they can look at these big ministries and say, "Oh, wow, look at what God's doing over there. And why isn't He doing that with me?" And do you see the danger of that?
Yeah.
God doesn't tell us to worry about that. God tells us to worry about being faithful.
Amen.
To some He gives this many, to some He gives this many. But His interest is that we would be faithful to what He's given us and to be who we're called to be and not make these comparisons with other men. I can only be Kyle Reeder. You can only be Brent Madding.
That's right.
You can only be Brian Sims and Charlie Lynch. That's just who we are, and you're stuck with us. How about that? You get who you get. And as we say at home, you don't throw a fit.
Amen, bro.
Run your own race. I'm thinking of that passage at the end of John's Gospel.
Mm-hmm.
When Peter is before the Lord and Jesus says to him, "Peter, do you love me?" "Oh, yes, Lord, you know." "Then go feed my little lambkins." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." "Go feed my lambkins. Go take care of my little sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Oh, yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Then go out and feed my sheep. Take care of my people." And then you remember what happens as you go on in that story? Peter, he's looking over at John.
Yeah.
And he says, "Well, what about this one over here? What about this, your other follower over here? What's going to happen to him?" Because the Lord had just told Peter what was going to happen to him. That ultimately Peter was going to give his life as a martyr for the sake of the gospel. And Peter's thinking about that and he looks over and he says, "Well, what about this one over here?" And do you remember what the Lord says to him? He says, "What's it to you what I do with this servant?
That's right.
You follow me."
That's right.
That's the message.
Amen.
For all of us.
Amen.
Don't be comparing yourself to other people.
That's right.
Run the race that God has given you to race. You're not going to answer for everybody else. You're going to answer to the Lord for you.
Amen.
Run your own race. Beware of those dangerous comparisons. The 9th thing this morning. Oh, how bad pastors need this in those times of discouragement and frustration. And is, do not grow weary in well-doing. We've been called to a noble task from the Lord. He's given us this lofty job to do. I mean, I can't think of anything better than to be a preacher of the Word of God. Can you think of a more noble and exalted task from the Lord? A preacher was asked one time who showed a lot of abilities. He was a pastor, and somebody said to him, "Don't you think it'd be better if you were to like run for president, try to be some great politician?" And he said, "Why would I come from a higher office to stoop to a lower one?"
Right.
That's the way we ought to think of the Christian ministry.
Amen.
Because this is an amazing gift of God that He would call any man to stand before people and preach the Word of God. And sometimes in that calling you run across difficulties and frustrations and sadness of heart and discouragement. You see people and you want the best for them. And the Bible tells us that love believes all things.
Yeah.
You want the best for people. You believe that they're going to grow into maturity. And brother, I'm going to tell you, sometimes you're going to be disappointed.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have to continue not to grow weary in well-doing. You have to forge ahead. You have to move forward. One pastor said one time, if you're entering into the ministry, prepare for a broken heart.
Amen. That's right.
And that's so true. And in those moments, you have to play the man. You have to stand tall. You have to hold the line. You have to be a man with a backbone like a railroad iron, not a spaghetti noodle.
Right.
We need men in our day, don't we?
Amen.
We need men who will stand up and say, "Thus says the Lord." And when they take shots and when they take the flaming darts of the enemy, that they hold the shield and they fight back and they wield the sword and they don't cave to the pressure.
That's right.
Don't grow weary in well-doing. God is... called you to a tremendous task.
Yes.
Sow the Word of God and sleep and rest and leave your labor to the grace of God.
Amen.
You share the gospel with somebody over and over and they're not saved. Don't grow weary in well-doing.
That's right.
Yeah.
You continue to deal with a struggling sheep who just can't seem to get victory over this particular thing in their life. Don't grow weary in well-doing.
Amen.
You seem as if no one is responding to your messages. Don't grow weary in well-doing. You sow the Word of God and you sleep and you leave it all to the grace of God.
Amen.
The last thing I would say to you. Number 10. You must look forward to the prize.
Amen.
Look forward to the prize. Look forward to that special crown that's going to identify preachers as being those servants of God that He called up to preach His everlasting gospel.
Amen.
That's it.
It's all worth it if you hear the words of our blessed Master, that commendable statement, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Look forward to the prize. You'll be rewarded in the end." It's not going to happen in this life.
That's right.
By the way, that's true for all of us, isn't it?
Amen.
The influence that you exert in this world for the cause of Christ won't always be known in this world. But there's coming a day of accounting, isn't there? Where your influence, where the Lord is going to bring it out and He will reveal, and we should all desire to hear the words, "Well done."
Amen.
Well, let me turn around now to you, the congregation of the Solid Rock Baptist Church, and just give you a few words of reminder. My charge to you this morning, if you want to turn to it, comes from Hebrews chapter number 13. I want to look at two verses just quickly. Two verses. Hebrews 13, verse number 7. So important. What's your responsibility as a congregation to the pastors of the church that God has given to you? Here it is. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the Word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life. And here it is. And imitate their faith.
Amen.
You know, we are not perfect men. Those whom God has given you to be your shepherds. But I can honestly say, in all truthfulness, as it concerns me and the other elders of this church,
amen,
we are pursuing our Lord.
That's right.
We desire growth in our own lives.
Amen.
We desire greater understanding of His Word. We desire maturity. We desire, as shepherds of this church, Christ-likeness. We want to look more and more like our great shepherd. I can honestly tell you that today. I know myself and I know my brothers and I know these are the things that we talk about. And that's so important that we would have that in a church. Why? Because for you to be able to obey this, you need to have an example that's before you that's worthy of following. We're trying to live in such a way that you can consider the outcome of our faith and imitate us.
Amen.
As we follow, as we imitate the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I think sometimes we veer away from that doctrine of imitation in the local church.
Amen.
We are to imitate, aren't we?
Yes.
You know, if you're here today as a younger believer, not only do you need to look to your pastors, but look to other believers that are mature in the church and imitate their faith.
Amen.
Find someone that you see is that you think is farther ahead in their walk with the Lord Jesus and grab a hold of their coattails and ask them questions and say, "Wow, I see these godly things in your life and those things aren't in my life and I want to be like that." And you ask questions and you go after them. And brothers and sisters, know that you can pursue your elders in this church. We don't live in high towers secluded from you. We love you. We care about you. You can call us. You can ask us questions if you're struggling. We want to know that because we want to be able to say to you, imitate our faith.
Amen.
As we imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. Furthermore, Hebrews 13, 17. The text says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them." Now get this. "For they are keeping watch over your souls as one who has to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Let's suppose that in the coming months down the road, that Pastor Brent sees something in your life that needs to be addressed, something that he thinks perhaps is outside of the bounds of Scripture, and he comes to you to address that. Are you going to have the attitude and the disposition towards your pastor, towards your elder, that says, you know what, I need to listen to what he says because he's keeping watch over my soul.
Amen.
The Lord has given him a charge. The Lord has given him a task to do.
Right.
Am I going to listen to him in a way that shows, yes, he's holding to the Word of God, and I'm going to obey him insofar as he's teaching me and telling me what the Word of God says to do.
Right. Amen.
I'll also tell you today, if you ever hear something that's unbiblical from any of the elders in the church, you don't obey that.
Right.
You obey the Scriptures. You obey and submit to your leaders insofar as they are ministering and holding true to the Word of God and putting it before you.
Amen.
If there's something going on in your life and we come to you with the Word of God and we say, look, brother, right here in the book, this is what it says you're supposed to do. Your responsibility after being convinced from the Word of God is obey your leaders and submit to them because you're really submitting to the Word of God and to God Himself.
Amen.
And it's good for you.
Amen.
And the writer of Hebrews says, they're keeping watch over your soul, and let them do this with joy.
Yeah.
By the way, I'll say to you today, I love you as the senior pastor of this church. There's been no other people as it's been such a joy to pastor as you. And you do obey this already. I'll already commend you and say this already goes on in our church. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that my weekly experience as the pastor, I know Charlie and Brian and Brent, they all say the same thing, is that you are a joyful people to pastor.
Yes.
You're a loving people. You love the Word of God. You want to hear the Scripture. I mean, there's some of you that come to us and say, hey, if you see me getting out of line, just whack me. Just tell me. It's a joy, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a joy when you have that connection. When you see the wisdom of God, listen to me, listen. In God's wisdom, He has established authority relationships, hasn't He?
Mm-hmm.
And biblical authority is always for the good of the people under that authority.
Amen.
We look across and we see places where men have abused that authority. It becomes a tyrannical kind of situation. And people are a little bit hesitant sometimes to place themselves under authority because they think, well, this person, are they going to be a tyrant to me? Are they going to be a dictator to me? Are they going to oppress me? Or are they going to be kind to me? And we want in this church, because we see the wisdom of God in it, we want there to always be that beautiful relationship between the pastors of the church and the people of the church, where there is willing submission, where there's this joyful environment, because we're coming under the directives of God and we see God's wisdom, don't we?
Amen.
Listen, you're not going to have greater wisdom than God's wisdom.
Right.
God wants there to be shepherds in the church shepherding the sheep, and the sheep are to submit to the shepherds as the shepherds are submitting to the great shepherd.
Amen.
And when all of that is taking place, you have harmony and joy and love and an amazing environment where spiritual maturity can flourish and grow, and people can experience the blessing that God has intended for them.
Amen.
So church, as I give the charge to you, as our brother and the other elders of the church seek to live up to this decalogue of pastoral ministry, I charge you today as well to remember your leaders, consider their way of life, imitate their faith, obey and submit to them insofar as they're preaching the Word of God to you, and do that with the right action and do it with the right attitude.
Amen.
And that's good for you.
Yes.
And to not do that, it's not advantageous for you. We want the blessing of God, don't we?
Amen.
Well, praise God. We thank Him for such a wonderful event as today.
Yes.
Where we can
Amen.
Think about these truths and think about
Yes.
how God has revealed this wonderful relationship between pastor and pew. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You today for being so faithful and good to us, Lord. And revealing Your plan and revealing Your wisdom in the Holy Scriptures. And Father, we just praise You. Thank You, Lord. Father, I pray for the Solid Rock Baptist Church today that we would listen to the things that have been spoken, because all of these things are biblical truths, Lord. Father, I pray for the elders of the church that we would pursue You and that we would lead Your people as You intend, Lord, that we would be gentle shepherds who love them and tend to them and care for them, and Lord, that You would give us people in this church as You already have, Lord, to continue to submit and to lead, to listen and to obey, because they're really obeying You, Father.
Amen.
We thank You for the harmony that we have in the church. We thank You for the unity. We thank You for the love that we experience every time that we're together. And Lord, this is a divine thing, a supernatural thing that only comes from You. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we cherish it and we want to guard it and we want to keep it, Lord. And I know, Father, there's so many other people whose church experience is completely foreign to the things that I'm saying today. And so, Lord, we recognize this gift from you and we want it to continue. We love you today, Father. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for making us your children. Amen. Lord, we just praise you today for the gospel. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We'd be lost and going to hell if it wasn't for the gift of the gospel.
Amen.
And Lord, no matter what may happen, no matter what happens in this world, we belong to you. What comfort.
Yes.
And we rejoice in that. Bless the rest of our time now, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.